Hello, my name is John Case. I'm the sole proprietor of EnlightenRadio.org. This segment of the Progress Diner radio program, recorded on November 29. Welcomes to the show Sammy Brown, recently elected delegate to the House of Delegates in West Virginia, District 65, covering Charlestown, Ranson, and a dynamic young political leader, just arising out of the community in which she was born and raised, Ranson and Charlestown, West Virginia. She's going to come on and talk about progress.
Okay, so welcome to Sammy Brown. Okay, welcome to the Progress Diner radio program. JB Christensen and I are here, and Mike is... We found out that Skype has suddenly upgraded my platform, and it doesn't no longer allows me to add calls on the fly, so we can only do one at a time until I fix it. But anyway, but that's okay. It allows us to segment it into 15-minute podcasts, and I think that's a little bit easier to consume than, hey, listen to this. What? It takes 2 hours. You'll be like the Ancient Mariner, you know, by the time you're done. So, rather than, you know, tell you a tale of an albatross, I'd rather invite you to tell us and our listeners, what does a... First of all, let me turn the music off in the background. That's...
You're doing good so far, guys.
There we go. Okay.
So far.
All right. Anyway, why don't you tell us the definition of progress in Jefferson County, where you are now our new delegate elect, or are you officially sworn in yet?
Yeah. No. Thank you. So for me, guys, in my mind, progress looks like having an economy that actually works for all of us. And in the 65th, probably more so than the other districts in Jefferson County, you see a very stark contrast between socioeconomic status and socioeconomic class. And you'll see folks on Wiley that are impoverished, you could push over the homes, they're struggling from day to day, affordable housing is not in the books for them. And then go about 10, 15 minutes down the road, and you'll see these big palatial homes, and folks, you know, enjoy a life of privilege. And in my mind, you know, what I want, and I want so badly for not only the district of the 65th, but then for West Virginia as a whole, is to be sure that we can all survive and thrive here. And I have felt that, you know, we like to cite economic development. We're saying that we're prospering, but the fact of the matter is, there's only a few of us that actually are, and then there's many others that are left behind, and I simply won't stand for that. So progress for me is when we all get to survive and thrive here in the state that we call home.
That's beautiful.
Okay, what's step one?
Step one. So, and what I would like to see that we do, I have maybe a bias, but also a concerted focus on working families and the average worker. Now, what you see, and when we talk about economic development, everyone wants to cite business. We want to attract business, you know, jobs, jobs, jobs. But the reality is, and what I feel anyway, is that you know that an economy is thriving when your consumer has more to consume with, when there's more disposable income in their hands, when those individuals are spearing innovation through starting new small businesses. And so what I feel is that we create a work base that is skilled, sober, and accessible. And what I mean by that is, you know, are we truly building an education system that is setting our folks up for success? And what could we be doing to create public ed and higher ed that's affordable and truly accessible and close the achievement gap? Then, as far as sober, I am a proponent of rehabilitation over incarceration. And so I want to start scaling to where we have sources of income that focus on rehabilitation, that focus on mental health. I do have a platform that states I want to fully legalize marijuana as a result and put up a stream of revenue into funding mental health rehabilitation, and then a third would be PEIA. And then accessible is about infrastructure. It's about, you know, do we have fully functioning digital infrastructure to create online businesses? Are we closing that gap of accessibility so that we can go after our education online? And then also accessibility happens to do with inclusion too. So is our workforce truly diverse? Is our workforce truly inclusive? And when West Virginia workers get West Virginia jobs, when we are diversifying on an age spectrum, gender spectrum, and racial equality, that we're thriving, that we're the ones that are going to prosper as a state. So that's where I'd like to see us go, and that's really my basis. Now, I've gotten pushback for that because folks find that to be an anti-industry argument or a platform. I don't at all. I feel that you can't have industry without people to consume. You can't have industry without people to run it. You can't have industry without people to drive innovation.
And you have to recognize the reality of the carbon reductions that are coming, necessary reductions in order to carry on the species, you know. That's what irks them the most, because all the opposition is coming from the fossil fuel industry.
Oh yeah,
especially in West Virginia.
Definitely jump into that. Yeah.
No, I mean it's just obvious.
Today,
I mean it's obvious, and the new breed of House of Delegate is someone who understands that. There's only a couple in the House, in the Senate. There's only a handful in the Senate that understand it, but in the House you've got a lot more.
So how do we fare? You said we need a skilled, drug-free, and what was your third characteristic of the workforce? That's
skilled, sober, and accessible.
Mm-hmm. What?
Accessible.
Accessible.
Oh, mm-hmm. What does that mean? Accessible.
The internet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Making sure that there's not a barrier of entry to these jobs. So, you know, what's happening is that if we are creating quote unquote jobs in the area, and we're having folks that are living below the poverty line, I mean, they're making decisions based on, can I actually afford to get to work that day? On top of that, you know, if we have a digital infrastructure that spurs higher education, that really is a catalyst to online business and e-business, you know, that's additional revenue for our state. That's additional taxable revenue that we can put towards the betterment of West Virginia. But without all of that and really ripping that down, you're making it so that people can't even access their betterment. They can't even access what they're after to create quality of life. And what does it matter if you bring all of these quote-unquote jobs or quote-unquote businesses if West Virginia workers can't even get to them? I feel like that's very basic, but, you know, that isn't part of the planning protocol that's gone on in these conversations.
What jobs are you thinking of right there, for example, that you couldn't get to?
Mm-hmm. So for a lot of hours in general, John, I mean, let's think about Rockwell, for example. One of my biggest complaints with this is that there's no reinvestment in the community, but also, are you really bringing West Virginia workers to those jobs? There's individuals that could feasibly walk to the plant, right, that are in Fox Glen, but the reality is you're not hiring those individuals. There's a barrier of entry to get there in general. Then on top of that, if you're talking about the state as a whole, if you're looking at work sites and you're looking at blue collar jobs, specifically with the trades, you know, how are folks getting to those work sites? And the reality is they can't. that's how little income, how little they're working with to begin with. We've created a cycle of desperation where, you know, the best that they can do is try to apply for these jobs, but then they're making decisions of, do I eat today or do I put the money in my gas tank?
Okay, but all right. Okay, so in order to, so the new jobs should pay higher than Rockwell pays.
$15 an hour is the livable wage, right?
Well, that's their starting rate.
And I am a proponent of a living wage. So, and that's another point of contention. And I don't know if we've noticed a theme here, but I do have a fairly progressive platform. Not even fairly. I'm overtly progressive. But it has been about, are we creating quality of life through the living wage? Are we fighting for our $15 wage? And no, I don't think that's an exorbitant amount to ask for when we in Jefferson County, and this was data back in 2016, we needed $13.50 an hour just to get a bedroom apartment. That's the roof over our heads, not the amenities, not the food that you need on a regular basis. That's just the roof over your head, $13.50 an hour to be able to afford that. $15 an hour isn't too much to ask.
How would you convince a coal miner to choose a non-coal future?
I think for us, the individuals that actually are working right now, we want to create a climate of safety for them. So it's not really about convincing them of a non-coal future at the moment. Those that are displaced, however, what I would like to do is create a system and so that they can repurpose their skill set towards renewable energy. I do want to see them working on solar fields and solar panels, and I do want to see them in installation. And I think that it makes sense to transition from one source of energy to the other. What is very prevalent and apparent to me is that regardless of who states it, the coal industry is at a bit of a decline, and folks are getting displaced at a pretty regular clip at this point. My work within the labor movement in the past, I actually defended coal miners that were displaced by Patriot Coal, and that was that was a corporation that was supposedly thriving in the state of West Virginia, and yet they liquidated and displaced 2,500 individuals. So,
they were created to liquidate them.
Right.
They had forethought on that.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's unscrupulous business practice. The industry itself, I would equally defend safety measures and health and safety practices for that line of work regardless, again, because of a pro-worker mentality. But it's very easy to see that, especially individuals that are being displaced, we're going to have to look for ways to incentivize and retrain so that you're still you still get the quality of life that you've always deserved. I think it's more of a change of a frame of mindset in that regard.
You know, the Denmark model that Bernie Sanders used during his campaign, pretty much the unions are set up to be, or in effect, kind of contracted to actually administer a lot of funds, including some education, insurances, different health plans, and all kinds of transition funding for people who lose their occupation, right? Sort of like there's a representation for people, not just on jobs, but between jobs.
Right. You got it.
You know, and it's because you have, Denmark has adapted almost miraculously in some respects to the globalization by becoming a workforce that's used to having to change their job or career every 5 years, but they get all this public support for doing so, okay? And and so that it's made them very agile, right, in global whatever, business. But it is a global workforce. So I think that that's but that's becoming characteristic of a lot of the advanced economies, right, where you have a gig economy that is overtaking many, many aspects of things that used to be career-long jobs. Go ahead.
I don't think that's too much to ask, guys. I mean, I think, when it comes to the economy, I think I'm asking for us to inject a little bit of humanism into this thought. I'm asking for corporate social responsibility. I'm asking for good corporate citizenship. I'm asking for us to really create protections for working families and workers in that if you are being displaced from obsolete industry, that you still deserve quality of life, you are still relevant, and your skill set is still relevant. Right. I don't think any of that is beyond the scope of reason. It's going to take forethought. It's going to take progressive thinking, and that's what I'm after. So,
well, okay, I remember we were. I should say Sammy and I were both at the, and JV were all at the same meeting last Tuesday where we were discussing the Economic Development Authority or et cetera. But I was thinking of a slightly different example than the one we were discussing there, which was, okay, if you're on participating on an economic development authority, what's your economic development policy, or do you have one, or do you just have a resistance to ones that are already there? And you know, this dilemma, you know, presents itself in all kinds of ways, right? That you sometimes you have to decide, well, is the lesser evil the greater good or not?
Right.
And how do you feel about confronting those kind of challenges where, you know, you have to decide whether you should believe Lyndon Johnson or not, et cetera, et cetera? That kind of thing. I mean, you know what I mean? This hard choices kind of thing.
I mean, they are hard choices, but I think you hit the nail on the head, too, at the meeting, John, is that what is the litmus by which we're discerning this thought, right? So you can make these decisions, and it can be tough, and it will be tough. I'll be the first one to tell you. But if there is a core set of values and a core criteria that you're working from, you can at least be consistent. And why folks voted to overturn certain seats within this state. The reason that folks have voted a certain way in a pattern now is because they want consistency. They want to believe in what the system does for them, and they haven't found it yet. And so what I'm hoping to do is to offer that. Now, with my perspective on economic development, I'll tell you where I'm coming from, and we've hit on it a few times now. So for one, if you're going to be publicly funded, you know that we should be going after the Jobs Act, and that's 7 out of 10 jobs going to West Virginia workers. West Virginia workers getting West Virginia jobs. That's number one. Number two, I believe in corporate social responsibility. Are you reinvesting in the communities in which you inhabit? Are you functioning by a system of do no harm? So that's number two. Number three is that I want to see your system of how you're sustaining your particular business, particularly in the energy sector. Now, Procter & Gamble is a good example of where they said, this is our 10-year plan to go towards renewable energy. And they were very frank with me when they discussed it. They said, Sammy, it's cheaper. And of course it's cheaper. We've been saying that all along, those of us that are advocates of solar and alternative sources of energy. But I want to know what your plan is in order to reduce your impact and to reduce costs and essentially the social costs to the community surrounding you. So those are just three of the top line items that I look at when I'm discerning what a business does. Then, of course, you know, I tend to look at workplace safety. I look at wages and what are you doing to sustain quality of life.
Yeah.
But that's me. And I would like to see this adopted across the board. What is your system of belief? Because otherwise, it just seems like people are kind of doing the old point and click and calling it economic development. And that's not going to fly for people.
Yeah, well.
And folks are, you know, the more they're engaged in, they're engaged civically and in their electoral process, they're going to ask questions and they want to know what is the system of belief here.
Okay, so that's probably going to take a lot of thinking to work through. I know we went through this 5-6 years ago when Len Windmeyer was on the county commission, and also I think there was another commissioner that was also very interested in developing a more suburban, sensible model of development in Jefferson County. Since we do have zoning privileges here, or rights.
You pay for it.
But, well, yeah, you pay for it. But the question is that, you know, are you going to organize development or are you not? And right, I mean, because and if you want to maintain this green space that everybody wanted, then you need to have, you know, people that are on lower incomes have to be able to live in more denser communities, you know, and so you have to build housing that reflects that, because it really does work out to, hey, do you want to have services? Well, they don't pay much wages. Where are those folks going to live?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, they had a big plan, but it got to be so complicated, there were a lot of underlying presumptions about what would be coming down the road in the way of opportunities for development, right? And, you know, presumptions are, you know, tough to take the money out of your wallet and put a whole lot down on them when you think there might be, when you're not sure what they are. So, but all those things failed. Mm-hmm. In the ballots, mm-hmm. Right? even when the Democrats were more in the ascendancy, but I just wonder how we're going to fund it all, the improvements that everybody would like to see. I wonder about how that's going to be done, and the constraints of the state.
Yeah, that's a great question, John. I mean, and I think because we've had such a mentality. And it's a dangerous one where folks are like, I'm anti-tax. Anything that says tax on it, we're not going to talk about.
Right.
And the shift in mindset needs to be about how are we creating sustainable revenue and how are we reallocating it to the things that we need most. And that also says to me that there is a misunderstanding of what certain tax packages do and what it means to actually create revenue with
yeah.
State, what it means to have, and it was very clearing to me when you're talking about severance. You know, people are like, absolutely no to severance taxes, but those are taxes that are imposed on individuals that are extracting from your.
Yeah, it's a sin tax.
Yeah, well, that's the coal constituency. Everybody whose county is getting money from the coal from the severance tax knows.
But it's just like cigarette. It's just like cigarette tax or liquor tax.
Yeah.
You know, the dancing girls, I don't know if they have to pay a tax. Do they pay a tax?
Oh, how would you know?
I don't know. JB. I don't go in there.
Anyway.
I don't know if I believe that either.
Hey, you know
we'll
what? I could get a job in the CLC as an inspector.
In the CLC?
Yeah.
I could run,
you know what I mean, go in and make sure the working conditions are up to health standards.
You're talking about, you know, what, adult establishments, you mean? Is that what you
mean?
About?
That would only be one of the responsibilities.
Oh, of course.
I mean, there'd be everything else, too.
Right. And there'd be, you know, payoffs for the best parking spots.
I mean, there's only a few of those places. There's a lot of other places.
I don't want to go there.
We go to Target first.
I was too old to be tempted by that when I was 30.
I went into Target today.
I don't know.
Everybody was very
Let's
happy.
Stop this. Stop it. God almighty.
Happy.
This Jesus Christ. Lord. Okay. Anyway. We're not in church, but I apologize Gentlemen. For taking the Lord's name in vain. Anyway. Okay. Well, Sammy, it sounds like we've gone on long enough here, and I want to be able to have 25, 30-minute segments. That's my goal this time, okay, to edit them down.
Sure.
Anyway.
Sure.
I'm so pleased that you're in there, and you know, as you learn, so shall we. That's my hope. That you know, right? I mean, I remember I came home and I was telling Carol when I came home and after we at the Labor Council meeting, and I says, "Wow, I was just coming home and I was remembering Sammy from 3 years ago, and Sammy now." And, of course, you know, it's like you've been in there fighting the tigers. Here, take this steak, and I'm going to get out before you eat me. You're not going to. Anyway, and it was really a pleasure to hear you, you know, weigh in at the meeting now. And I'm just looking forward. As you figure it out, maybe we'll figure it out, too. So that's.
Thank you. No, that means a lot, guys. But, you know,
right.
I've approached this whole thing knowing that I'm smart enough to know that I'm not the smartest one in the room. And I'm really looking forward to this being a collaborative process that, you know, I've always been someone that's been of my community. So, you know, I'll take the concerns and take everything that like I've learned and I've really just delved into being an organizer and take that with me to create people-powered policy. And it's going to be tough. We're going to have to fight like hell, and I'm not even going to try to tell you that I won't make mistakes. I absolutely will. But in the meantime, you know, we're going to try to really fight for a government that actually cares about its constituents, that cares about its people, and fights for its true betterment. So if okay. I can make that kind of an impact.
Be nice to Roger.
All right. Now, listen, I'm going to be putting them on my website pretty soon, an application. Anybody who wants to can sign up and join the Higher Wages Party.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to give up your membership in other parties if you prefer not to. And actually, it has no rules or regulations except for the title. If you're for higher wages, you can join. Okay, so that would be...
come on in.
I'm just going to keep using my party affiliation to keep pushing the people. By the way, is there any money coming into the pocket as a result of this particular argument? Anyway, okay, take care. All right.
You can tell Case has never been down there. Jeez. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's what most people are interested in. I mean, hey. Is it going to take money out of my pocket or put it in?
Right, but Sammy needs to know that Roger Henshaw is now the Speaker of the House, and he was the chairman of the Oil and Gas Caucus for many years before he got that position. So keep that in mind. Don't say anything too offensive to him. You know, be real nice to him.
Oh God! Look at here. You're getting advice. Look at this kind of advice, right?
So
yeah, don't.
No, they might.
He's a powerful man. You better listen.
No, they could. No, they could put you in the back row. You know, you'd be back there with Doyle. Doyle will be back there.
Well, we're about to find out what our committee assignments are. But I did already apply for mine, and hopefully it shakes out for our benefit. You know, I went in and I did something for the fences. So
what'd you put? Oh, but you don't know yet, right?
Not yet.
All right, but you put in the good ones. You put in judiciary.
All right.
I did. Judiciary was my top pick.
Well, get ready.
Oh, good. Yes. Okay, so you get all the hot...
Maybe that's what Patrick Morrissey meant.
You get all the hot stuff.
Get ready.
All right, Sammy. We'll get another report as soon as you get, you know, fully locked in and ready to launch into outer space here. Okay, so... which may be another name for the West Virginia legislature. We'll find out from you. All right. So, listen, take care of yourself, okay? And report back to us as soon as you can.
I absolutely will. Thanks, guys.
Take care, pal.
Thank you. Thanks, Sammy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And we really should try to get a hold of Mike Diesel now because we had to cut